Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Well, again, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with Rick Sterling, with Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted that you have taken some time out of your busy schedule to join us on the program. It's still glitching. We're just going to keep going. Let me see something here. It's on the showing frontier. We're up on Wi-Fi, but so in any case, let me go down here and just check something. We've had some issues with the Ethernet today. It is showing no connection to the Ethernet on my network settings. And I don't know how to fix it. This is the one that I normally use. This is the connector I normally use. But I'm just gonna check on the other thing. Anyway, give me just a minute. Why don't you tell them what's been going on while I fix it?
See if I can fix this. How much you heard when we started this. But I was talking about the a lot of what's going on in the news are talking about a possible nuclear exchange of nuclear bombs. And if you were talking about a BB gun. And the other side seems to be the sane, more understanding side, and they've been put in a bad spot by the devil and his forces. Are we having any?
Well, I'm showing that both are connected.
Are you getting it on the phone?
Yeah, I've got it on my ear.
Okay, all right, so we should be good.
Anyway, we've been having some issues, and you know, I don't expect that we wouldn't. So
it seems like when we have a particularly poignant study, the devil lets us know that he's still here and he's
I don't know what's happening with our system. I'll just let you go.
No, try it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. My mind is all trying to put itself together. Thank you for hanging in there with us, everyone. This happens from time to time, and it's like we have no control over it. Take the fig tree as a parable. As soon as its twigs grow supple and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. So with you, when you see all these things, know that he is near, at the very gates. I tell you solemnly, before this generation has passed away, all these things will have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But as for that day and hour, no one knows it, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, no one but the Father only. Now those three words, nobody knows it but the Father. Nobody knows it. What I understand the translation of the Greek word can be nobody knows it until it's made known. So in other words, no one makes it known but the Father, because he's the only one who knows it. But understandably, the Father would have to make it known at some point in time in order for it to happen. Because if the Father never makes it known, how is his Son going to know when to return to earth, as he promised? So stay awake, because you do not know the day when your master is coming. You may be sure of this. If the head of the house had known at what time of the night the burglar would come, it would be because he stayed awake. Now, what is this awake and asleep? What does that mean?
Spiritual.
Yeah. Spiritual. But what does that mean? You know, you ask 100 people, Christian, if they're awake, are you awake? And will you see the Son of God when he returns to earth? And how many of those 100 people do you think would tell you, no, I'm asleep? How many, Dennis? You have any idea?
Every one of them.
Every one of them would say they're awake. And of course they would think they're awake. What does it mean, awake and asleep spiritually?
Well, they believe they know the truth because their church told them they do.
Well, let's go, just turn over to I guess I didn't tell you what I was reading from. That was Matthew 24, verses 32 through 40 and then 42 and 43. Now 24, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of the heavens will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. The foolish ones did take their lamps, but they brought no oil, whereas the sensible ones took flasks of oil as well as their lamps. The bridegroom was late, and they all grew drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a cry. The bridegroom is here. Go out to meet him. At this, all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. But they replied, there may not be enough for us and for you. You had better go to those who sell it and buy some for yourselves. They had gone off to buy oil when the bridegroom arrived. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was closed. The other bridesmaids arrived late or later. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you solemnly, I do not know you. So stay awake, because you do not know either the day nor the hour . So what is the Son of God really trying to explain here for us to understand? Because on the one hand, he says no one knows. He doesn't even know. But then on the other hand, he says, if you had known, you would have stayed. It was because you stayed awake. But if the Father is the only one who knows, and he isn't telling anybody, it's just going to happen, I guess, then how is any of this other going to happen the way he explained it if there's never going to be any clue as to when that day is going to happen? There's another text that I want to read. It's in Revelation. Revelation 16. And we'll start with verse 12. So Revelation 16, starting with verse 12. The sixth angel emptied his bowl over the great river Euphrates. All the water dried up so that a way was made for the kings of the east to come in. Then from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, I saw three foul spirits come. They looked like frogs, and in fact were demon spirits, able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the world to call them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. They called the kings together at a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. You hear a lot about Armageddon and the Armageddon right now, these days when there's threats flying back and forth about nuclear bombs. If you really look at that, there are several things you need to take into consideration, and I have not seen anyone who's been talking about this, you know, this, we're in this period of time where we have the mark of the beast, which is the jab. We've got AI, artificial intelligence. Where countries have the ability to wipe every living being and every living thing off the face of the earth with their sophisticated weapons, and I'm not just talking about nuclear weapons, I'm talking about biological and chemical weapons. Don't think of this lightly. These people who are bound and determined to make it happen. And I'm talking about the globalists, World Economic Forum, Deep State, Bilderberg, and various other secret organizations that I know a little bit about. It's very hard to get real accurate information on these very secret, shadowy groups because they take great care not to be known by anyone.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, keep going.
These groups are run by Satan and his demonic forces. And what he is bound and determined to do is to eliminate all those who have not bent the knee to him. Eliminate them from the face of the earth before God has a chance to return and claim his own. But how is anybody to know? You see, they've been saying for so long, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. He told his disciples, I'll be back soon. Every generation that has come and gone up to this point has come and gone believing that the Son of God would return in their generation. Now, you may remember that when I read from Matthew chapter 24, he brought up the fig tree in springtime and how you can look at the fig tree and by seeing that it's the tips of its branches are tender and the leaves are starting to come out, you know that summer is nigh. And why is it important to know when summer is nigh for the fig tree? Because you know that its fruit is about ready to come out. The blossoms and the bees that pollinate the blossoms, and the blossoms then develop into figs. So you know that once you see the leaves and its twigs become tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near, and summer is the time when the fruit begins to ripen. The fruit will begin to ripen. You may have noted that I left out a part of the verses I just read. In my Bible, it is separated from this, the text here, with something very out of place and very interesting, its placement there. Everybody is talking about Armageddon. Well, every Christian anyway is talking about Armageddon, because the stench of a nuclear holocaust is already in the nostrils of most of the people. Let's read what the part that I left out, the part that is inserted, if you will. We find that in Revelation 16, verse 15. This is how it will be. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake, not taken off his clothes, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame.
I wonder if this has anything to do with the king's new clothes.
Well, I'll tell you what it does have to do with. You probably noticed that most every study, I go to Genesis, chapter 2 or chapter 3, sometimes chapter 1. This chapter 3, starting with verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good to eat and pleasing to the eye, and that it was desirable for knowledge that it could give. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So why does he say here, I shall come like a thief, happy is the man, not those, not them, the man. Who is that man? And why is it being stressed here that he stayed awake and not taken off his clothes? So let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. and see if those three things that are mentioned there, one man staying awake and not taking off his clothes, and see if we can find somewhere where all of those are included in one defining part of Matthew 24. Back to verse 42 and 43. So stay awake. So right there is number one. Staying awake. Keyword, connecting with his coming like a thief. Stay awake. You stay awake because you don't know the time that your master is coming. So very clearly, he is not telling us to go asleep, to go to sleep, and when I return, I'll wake you up. That wouldn't make any sense at all. Why would he? Then it's the onus is on him. What do we prepare for? We're not preparing for anything. We go to sleep. Generation after generation is born sound asleep. Well, see, that's what's been going on. Generation after generation, they've been born sound asleep. They don't wake up. They've been born sound asleep. You know that mountain? In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, nobody seems to pay too much attention to the mountain. It doesn't seem to have any connection. It doesn't have a connection to the image, and its only connection to the stone is that the stone breaks itself away from the mountain. But what is the mountain?
Kingdom of God.
No, it's not the kingdom of God yet. The stone is the kingdom of God. And if the mountain was the kingdom of God, it wouldn't have to break itself away from it because it would be leaving the kingdom of God, which is not the case. What is it? I don't know that I've heard anybody talk about that mountain. And really, the mountain's not important. But what I see is that the mountain is the body of people who are sound asleep.
Makes sense.
They're not in the kingdom of the world. They're not serving the devil. But they're not the kingdom of God yet.
Makes good sense.
So stay awake. So who is he talking to? Stay awake. If everybody's born asleep, stay awake.
Somebody's awake.
Is he saying, stay awake until I come? Or is he saying, once you wake up, stay awake?
Exactly.
So stay awake because you do not know the day when your master is coming. You may be quite sure of this. If the head of the house had known. What does had known mean?
In other words, this person should have known.
Knowledge he got in the past that he has
given up
now. No. No, not given up. In other words, let's say that you're going on a trip and you're going to go to a nice resort in Cancun. And it's, you know, September, October. And you have everything all planned and you get on the plane, you fly to Cancun, you move into your nice resort, condominium room, whatever. And as you're checking in, and they tell you, were you aware that we are going to be hit with a powerful hurricane in 2 days? And you go, what?
Right, what?
If I had known, I would have not delayed there. I mean, see, what I'm saying is what the Son of God appears to be saying here is that if, as he's talking, stay awake, because you don't know the day, but if you had known the day, you would have stayed awake, right?
Right.
Or if you had have known that he would return when a certain thing occurred, and that certain thing is when he had a kingdom.
When I said what I said earlier, by the way, Rick, I was thinking of this text in Revelation 3:3. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent.
That goes right along with Christ, yeah. So stay awake because you do not know the day when your master is coming. You may be quite sure of this, that if the head of the house, the master of the house, one person, that head of the house is a title given to one person whose job it is to make sure that the household operates in 100% accordance with the will of the master, the one who owns the house.
There is a difference between the owner of the house and the householder. The householder is the prime servant of the master who sees to it that the household runs properly.
He knows his master so well that nothing can happen. Well, in the absence of his master, nothing can happen that he could not handle as if his master were there to handle. That's why you've heard me stressing the importance of knowing God, knowing your Father God, knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing the Son of God. No, not knowing of them. No, I know them, and I believe them, I have faith in them, and that. No. You have to know them well enough that you could manage their household as if they were there to do it themselves. That's how you have to know them. And I can guarantee you don't know them that well.
And they wouldn't have to keep reminding you of what your job was.
So what is the difference between this generation we're in right now and every previous generation who have believed that the Son of God would return in their day? I mean, I know my dad, and I've told you my dad was a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, 29 years. And when he was in theological school, college, he was told by his
professors
that Jesus would return in 5 years. So they all had to get ready because, you know, he had 4 years of college and then he'd get out. He didn't even go to seminary. So he went to 4 years of college, and he really prepared, and he prepared. He knew those apocalyptic prophecies in Daniel and Revelation backward and forward. And I don't remember so much him giving much of anything from Matthew other than the obvious, this gospel, the kingdom preached, and as it was in the days of Noah, and that, but not, you know, not so much any of the other. Five years came and went, and he didn't return. Well, they had told him that, well, it's going to happen in 5 years, but if it doesn't happen in 5 years, certainly it will not go longer than 10 years. Now, where they were telling him this in the early 1940s.
And what was going on in the early 1940s?
World War II.
Exactly. Which in itself was an apocalypse.
And my dad fell asleep in death in May of 2017. God did not come in his generation. But I think my dad saw that maybe I was on to something.
Well, I know my dad did.
Your dad definitely did. So stay awake, because you do not know the day when your master is coming. You might be quite sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the burglar would come, it's because he would have stayed awake. He stayed awake. Now, how do we know that he stayed awake? How would we know whether he stayed awake or not? Well, we find that out a little bit over here in chapter 24. Let's start with verse 49 first, and then we'll back up and do verse 45 and on. Starting with verse 49. Or 48, but as for that dishonest servant who says to himself, my master is taking his time, and he sets about beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with drunkards. In other words, he went back to sleep. His master will come on a day he does not expect and at an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off. Send him to the same fate as the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth.
And Rick, do you know what the Greek word hypocrite means?
Actor.
Actor. In other words, a professional liar.
Yes, pretending to be
someone
or something they're not.
They're not, exactly.
Okay, so let's back up, because I wanted to do that one first, because I think it has a little more meaning doing it first. So here, starting with verse 45, what sort of servant then is trustworthy and wise enough for the master to place him over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at this employment. I tell you solemnly, he will place him over everything owns. Now, he's obviously talking about the same individual.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to see that you can't have this one person being trustworthy and wise enough and
a hypocrite.
Because it's what his master finds him doing when, on the day that he returns. Now, it would seem reasonable to understand that this individual had been awake and had started giving his fellow servants their food, that, and the food, of course, is the words, the teaching, the truth that the Son of God did. And he was doing this up to a point where he thought, you know, my dad thought that the Son of God would return in his lifetime, and he didn't. My grandparents thought the Son of God would return in their lifetime, and he didn't. In fact, I've read stories of those who professed that the Son of God would come in their lifetime, and he didn't. So why should I expect this lifetime to be any different? I know the day. I know the time when the great tribulation will start. I know the time when the Son of God will come, and he will come to his servants, and he will seal them. And they will go out around the world and bring in the 144,000, and they will be sealed. And then they will go and wake up those sleeping bridesmaids. And half of them will go to the marriage feast. They will all be there at the marriage feast. And the Son of God will announce to them that he is about ready to bring a great tribulation on the world and what their responsibility will be. But that didn't happen. It didn't happen the way that he thought it was going to happen, so he had a choice to continue doing what he's doing, was doing at the time, or to say, God has let me down. And everything that he's brought me to this point in understanding was just a tease, a carrot on a stick.
He would do the Jonah.
So what I will do is I will just wait, you know, get on with my life. I've wasted a good portion of it, and I'll get on with my life. And the next time that his coming will all work out mathematically, I'll be there. You see, this individual has to make a choice. And it seems like the choice is based on whether his master has shown up when he thinks he's supposed to show up because of what he says. My master is taking his time. He's taking his time. It, you know, it's all supposed to work out. But you see, what he doesn't realize is that the great tribulation is not going to happen. Didn't know that at the time. He did know it later, but he wouldn't have known it if he didn't stay awake. If he chose to and say, well, maybe later I'll
and accuse God of embarrassing him in front of the world.
Yeah, embarrassing.
Well, it's like just like
humiliating.
Humiliating.
Well, you know, it's funny that people hear what they want to hear, and they take your words and make them say something that you really didn't say, that you qualified. But, I mean, it doesn't matter one way or another. The point I want to make is that it seems very clear that this individual that God is talking about is one person. Now, it also makes sense to me that this individual is one person because if it were more than one, God wouldn't be waiting to do what he wants to do, what he needs to do. How could, say, 5 or 10 people in the world be trustworthy and wise enough so that when the Son of God returned, he would come to all 5 or 10 of them and say, here, I want you to get together with the others and get on the same page. In other words, I would say it is statistically impossible, unless God did something that he never does, to have more than one person finally get what he's needed one person to get so that he can return. And when I say get, I mean get real. Get up. Wake up and have the determination to put in the work, because they know what God needs
and expects,
but needs. And yes, that can sound arrogant, conceited, whatever you want to call it. It can sound like all those things. And that's okay, but it isn't true. What you will find is the closer you get to God, your humility grows. It's not something you try to be. It's something you are. The closer you get to God is the process of learning the truth. That's one of the ways that you can tell that you are on the path to righteousness, is that as you commit to learn the truth reveals to you your status. And your status is you are a created being, created by God, who has a marvelous plan for you. And that you are here for him. And that everything you have, including your wisdom, has come from God. I can tell my own experience. The Holy Spirit is nothing like she has been portrayed by those who feel they know and have heard the Holy Spirit talk, and Holy Spirit has given them all this information, and Holy Spirit has revealed himself to them, not knowing that the Holy Spirit is feminine. I say woel, as Eve was woman, taken out of man, the Holy Spirit is woel, taken out of God. Her spirit and his spirit are one, just like the flesh and blood of Adam and his wife was one. Two unique beings. I mean, when the Holy Spirit looks at her husband, the Father, she's not seeing herself. She has thoughts, but those thoughts are completely 100% in line with the thoughts of the Father, just as the thoughts of the Son are 100% consistent with the thoughts of the Father. But they are three distinct spiritual beings, but they're one, because there's no lie in their mind, no lies. And that's what they want for us, no lies in our mind, no lies in our intellect, no lies in us whatsoever. I've had people tell me, well, how is that even possible? What did God say about impossible and impossible? What seems impossible for man? Yes. Definitely possible for God. Probable for God. So this is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes so that he does not go out naked. And expose his shame. Now, in the last couple minutes that we have, I want to just say, why is that statement there in the description of the sixth bowl of wrath? There's a lot of talk about China. China is taking over the world, and all the that China was the country that the deep state was going to use to subdue the whole world. And what does the sixth bowl say? Drying up the river Euphrates to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Well, where is China? Well, you might say, well, it depends on which side of China you're on. No, it's called the East. They call it the Far East, probably because when it was called the Far East, most people were living in Europe at the time. And there's the Near East, the Middle East, the Far East. The kings from the east. Well, Armageddon, I guess, was supposed to be fought in Palestine. And so the kings from the east would be from China, from the east. But the kings from the east are still trying to subdue the world. But it isn't going to happen because we're not in that reality. These are the end of days. It's not going to end a nuclear holocaust. And you will see that these are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for putting up with some technical difficulties today. We're going to cure those by tomorrow. I encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Blog Talk Radio for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a happy Friday, and we'll see you all tomorrow, October 8th. So long for now.